Thanks, Craig. I'm just going to share a few final thoughts before we wrap up, and it's on the same line of thinking. In fact, I don't have to read some passages because Craig's covered them. But it really hinged around John 15 was what I was thinking about. And John 15, if you're not familiar with it, you can turn there if you have your Bible, if not. But John 15 is another story. We've talked a lot of stories this morning. Jason and Craig have shared. But in this story, which some of you will be familiar with, Jesus is sharing with his disciples, and he's talking about, well, he's sharing there, and he's giving the using the analogy of a vine and grapes. He says in there, he's explaining to them how they can bear fruit. And the fruit that he's referring to in another passage, it talks about the fruit. And he talks about two different types of fruit. And all of this comes down to ultimately, if we're living our life for Jesus and a life that trusts in him. And the song that Craig referred to was a song that was in my mind. There's a song that talks about trust and obey. Or if we're living for ourselves and we're just depending on ourselves. And the two different types of fruit that come out of that. And the fruit that comes when we are dependent on Jesus. And I want to talk, I'll touch just for briefly on that. But a fruit that comes, he says, is love, is joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, self-control. You say that to anybody and say, would you want your life to look like that? I think anybody would say, absolutely. The alternative is we live for ourselves. And every one of us knows what the fruit of that looks like because every one of us will have experienced it. And if you haven't, we're living in a place where we haven't given our life to Jesus, we're still experiencing it. And we can, I would say to a measure, we continue to experience that. But as Jesus comes into our life, he begins to work in our life to change it. And that is the fruit of call it the fruit of a selfish life. He says the fruit of the flesh, but the flesh can be confusing. So just call it the fruit of a selfish life, a life where we are depending, trusting. Craig talked a lot about trusting. If we just trust in ourselves, it's amazing to me because the thing that the very verse in John 15, Jesus said, he just came right to the core to it. And he said, you, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the verse that just has been hit me this week. Apart from me, Tim, you can do nothing. And I haven't really been able to shake that verse this week. That has just been in my mind. So we're living for the opposite. The world, though, says just believe, you know, trust, just believe you can do it. But it's basically trust in yourself. Or trust in Jesus. Those are the two options that you have. And we trust in ourselves. We end up experiencing this other fruit. And the other fruit, you know what it's like. What is it? I'm going to read the list to you because I can't remember it. I can say what my life looked like and what that fruit in my life looked like before I came to Jesus. But he says there, the fruit that comes when we do that, He said, it's immorality, yes. Impurity, yes. Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery and enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, yes. Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these. This is what life looks like when we are trusting. Everybody's trusting in something. Craig's talked a lot about trusting. Wonderful testimonies of incredibly difficult times that their family has been through where that trust has been put to the test. And we're all trusting in something. For every one of us, ultimately, before we come to Jesus, we're really kind of trusting in ourselves. We'll try and find other things. Maybe we begin to trust in other things that help take our mind off of all the troubles that are coming in our lives. People will trust in other things. The other option is we come to a place where we say, I can't do it. Everything else that I've tried and I've tried to trust in and hope in and expect that it will help me, it's failed me. Like that's That's my testimony. And I know that's for many of you, that's your story. My life story for the first 20-some years of my life. Trusting in so many other things, hoping. The biggest thing for me was, I wanted joy. I wanted joy. And you would hear people talk about it, and that was the thing that I wanted. I was like, man, I want that. And the desire and the seeking for it grew the more I tried other things. And the more I had other stuff and I would go after it hard and the more it would let me down, it became like a ferocious search for this joy. And it wasn't, I think in the combination of that search, there was also this revelation of my life and the man that I was becoming and the man that I hated and I was so ashamed of. And I tried to keep hidden from everybody else. I didn't want anybody else to see this man that I was becoming. So I would lie and I would try and cover it all up. But all of it was a pursuit for something that would ultimately satisfy in my life. And then it was when I was 22, 24 years old, when I finally came to the end of myself. And I saw someone that I had been so close with, I'd lived with, and I saw them, and it was just whatever. I knew as soon as I looked across the room and I saw it, I said, he has found what I'm looking for. I have to have what you have. That's what I'm looking for. I can see it in your face. I've known you. I've seen you before and I see you now and I know that you have what I'm looking for. I have to have it. And you come to this place where you're willing to just say, whatever it costs, I will sell everything that I have to have what you have. And that's why Jesus gives this story about a man searching in a field. Not even searching, just going through a field. He finds this treasure and says, I have to sell everything I have to buy that field and have that treasure because it's what I've been searching for my whole life. And so that happened to me. And you come to experience in that. You come to this place of, Jason talked about this word repentance. Repentance is to have sorrow for the way I was living. And to turn from. That's what Jason talked about. Have a change of mind, change direction. And that's what happened in my life. The way I had been living, all of that fruit that I read about, when you're trusting in yourself and you're trying to find something on your own strength, all of that fruit, I was the most selfish, immoral, awful, hypocrite of a person, because at the same time I was leading Bible study and it was such a charade. And all I could hope was that no one would ever figure out what a charade it was. And yet, Jesus in his mercy brought me to my knees. And I saw, as I said, I saw someone across the room, two people actually that I'd known, and I could look across the room and say, you have what I've been searching for, and I have to have it. And it involved coming to Jesus and surrendering my life to him, repenting. And it involved making change, painful change, but change that, as he was showing me things that needed to change, I had to come and I had to repent. That means to have sorrow for and to be willing to make a change. But I was so, so sick of my life. I just thought, I have to, whatever it costs. And it cost me greatly. I basically lost every relationship that I had. But I was just so driven. I had to. And I began to experience this peace and this joy in my life that I've been searching for. And that's what he says here. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. You know, this is me. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. What would that look like? That looks like me. I would go to church on Sunday. I would go to Bible study. Yeah, I'd lead Bible study. But there was the fruit was the opposite of what his fruit. The fruit was selfishness, immorality, outbursts of anger, lying, deceit. That was my life. He says, ultimately, the fate of that branch is just like, we've grown grapevines. They're not bearing any fruit. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'm definitely going to have to do some research because I want these grapevines to grow, to bear fruit, but I'm going to have to learn how to prune them. And the one simple thing I know is you got to figure out what are the things that are sucking energy out but not bearing fruit. You cut those off. You want to just leave the vine, the branches that are going to bear fruit. I don't know how to do that. So I'll be talking to some of you that do have grapevines, right? But that's what he says. Look at, I'm going to, if there's somebody that's like Tim pretending to be in me, but there's no fruit, the outcome is I'm going to have to prune that off because I like that branch is going to get pruned off, right? So that's not the place we want to be. And praise God, we don't have to stay there. But he says, we can repent and say, Lord, I know that my life isn't bearing the fruit you're looking for. I'm bearing this other fruit that Tim's talked about and that my life was bearing. So we can repent and turn to him. And he says, jumping down to verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So that makes sense when we think about fruit. It may not make sense to you when you think of what does that have to do with Jesus, right? We understand. We also bought these fruit trees. I got fruit trees that eventually, hopefully, might, if we figure out how to take care of them, bear like 5 different types of plums, pears. I don't know. There's so many different types of things been grafted into this tree, right? You can, it's amazing. You can graft these things into the tree and hypothetically, probably not in our yard, but hopefully, they'll actually bear all these different types of apples, plums, pears, whatever it is we planted. If we're grafted into Jesus Christ, we say, Lord, I have been living my life for this world, for myself, and it's bearing fruit, and I hate the fruit. The fruit is awful, and that's the place that I was in. We say, I'm sick of that. I want to change vines, Lord. I've been living for myself, trusting in myself, depending on myself. I want to be grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ and learn to live this life that Craig talked about. He and Sherry and their family have lived, and many have, in this church have come to experience. Because I'm realizing, Lord, it's true, apart from you, well, what I know is I can do nothing. So I can only say that it's true, apart from you, I can do nothing. Because my life, that's what my life looked like. I want to get grafted into you. And so we can. We just come to him and say, Lord, I need to be part of you. I want to experience this joy, this love, this peace, this patience, this kindness. We come to him, praise God, he is there. That's what he died on the cross for, is for those that desire life. In him is life. I can't shake that. That's another one. It says, like, there's so many other things that we are going to hunt after if we're not living for Jesus to find life. And I can think back to all of the things that I so ferociously went after, to the point of injuring myself, to spending literally down to the change of every penny I had, trying to find life in something. Like, it was just like, I was just crying. I was just so, relationships, whatever it was, I wanted life. And every one of them would, we all know this, you buy something new, you do something, it's temporary, it's you like it for a moment, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, what's the next thing, right? What's the next thing? And so we come to realize, Lord, I don't want this life anymore. I need to experience, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have life abundantly. And that life isn't dependent on what we own. It isn't dependent on any status, anything that other people think of us, nothing. That life is dependent on just walking with, trusting in, abiding in Jesus Christ. And he says, in the end, he says, like, apart from me, you're not going to be able to do anything in your life apart from me. We can accomplish things. You can accomplish things. We see many wealthy people, many famous people that have accomplished many natural things in this life. But in the end, you can't take any of that with you. We know that in the end, how many people, how many marriages, all these things that end up in disarray, and yet you look at it and you think, wow, they had everything this world can offer, and yet their life is in shambles. Or you find out they're addicted to drugs because they're still fighting these who knows what in their life. And so all this wealth and fame and everything that they have doesn't bring life. There's only one thing, and that is abiding, coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ and abiding in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? Because that, what would that actually look like to get grafted into Jesus? He says later in this passage, he just says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. But we can just say, it comes to a place of surrendering your life to Jesus, coming to faith in Jesus, repenting of the life that we've lived, the sins we've committed, and surrendering our life and just saying, Lord, no more. That is my story of just look, no more, Lord. I'm not living for myself anymore. I just want to live for you. And walking in obedience daily, whatever he shows us. You know, it isn't a list of rules. The Bible does give some directions. When I came to Jesus, there were some simple things that I had to do. There was things that I was feeding on when I say that, things that I was watching, that I was that, which I just knew. There were certain things I was living and things I was practicing, I knew they had to go. And any person I could have asked said, should you live this way? They would have said, no, you shouldn't live that way. Even a non-Christian would have said, you shouldn't be doing that. Those things are simple. They had to go. But the rest of my journey with Jesus is learning to just, it's a relationship. Learning to hear his voice, which most often is just, you read something, much like Craig talked about, reading something and being encouraged. And we all have those experiences. You read something in the Bible and it builds your faith. Sometimes you'll read something and it'll convict you. You'll be like, oh. So you learn to hear his voice. You learn to just each day trust him and walk in him. And there's a growing so that we would bear more and more fruit. And that's the part, and I'm just going to end with that thought with you, but that's the part when we think about growing and becoming a more and more mature Christian. The thought that's been running through my mind this week is the more my life is built on total dependence on Jesus. Every day, every moment of my life is the life dependent on him. This is what maturing in your faith looks like. It's the opposite of what the world would say, because the world would say that you become more stable, but it's almost like you become more independent and you've got it all put together and you can take care of anything yourself. You can solve it. That's what the world would say would be, oh, you've really attained. You've got it all figured out. Maybe you built some wealth and you've got all these things. And I'm just seeing this week, it's been in my mind. It's like, Lord, the greatest thing that I can do is actually learn to depend on you more and more and trust in myself less and less. Like this is how I can mature and grow and truly live a life where it's a life of peace and joy in the midst of whatever circumstances, as Craig shared about so many different circumstances they've walked through and we'll all walk through. We'll all walk through different circumstances, but coming to a place where it's like, Lord, all I need is you. I need to learn to live and trust and just be completely dependent on you. And when we're in that place, he says here, apart from me, you can do nothing. But then he says the opposite. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Your words abide in me. Take that simply as I would say, if you're walking in a life where we're trusting in the Lord, we're walking in obedience to the things that he's showing us in our life, we are spending time in his word for the purpose of building our faith and that so we can continue each day to just trust in him. He says, then two things. One, he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That can sound selfish, but I think as we begin to walk with Jesus, I know as we begin to walk in Jesus, our desires change. So I'm not sitting here saying, Lord, if I could just take another $1 million. That's what the natural mind just goes to thinking about, ask whatever you want, it'll be given to you. It changes. All of a sudden, it's like, Lord, give me wisdom in raising my children. I need help. Like your mind goes to things where you realize, and those are the prayers that God's like, yes. I'm like, Lord, help me in my job. I realize But maybe they think I know what I'm doing. I realize I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I need you every day to make a decision at work, to be the husband you want me to be the father you want me to be. When I ask that, I know by this verse, it will be done for me. He will help me. And then he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As we learn to abide in him, we will bear much fruit. Anyway, I just want to encourage you in terms of trusting in him and learning to totally just surrender your life to him and then to seek to walk. And maybe it's like Jason shared with the parable of the two boys this morning. Maybe it's been like by our mouths we've said it. Maybe we've said no and we're walking the other direction. It's never too late to turn and say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want that joy and that peace that Tim's talking about. Maybe you've seen someone and you're looking at them like I had that experience and saying, whatever they have, I know for sure I don't have what they have. There's something they have. Now is a chance to just say, I need to have it. That starts, journeys with, ends with Jesus Christ and a life surrendered to him and dependent on him. And if we're walking with Jesus and you're growing in your walk, I just want to encourage you more. Let's continue to learn to live more and more each day dependent on him. Just reminded, I can't do anything apart from you, Jesus. I need you every hour. I need you.